Hey, Pastor Stephen here. Welcome to the Abundant Springs Podcast. If you haven't already, be sure to check us out online at abundantsprings.church. And now, on to this week's message.
You know, it's an interesting thing. As a pastor, one of the most common things that I hear when I talk to people about coming to church is them telling me that, well, you know, Pastor, it would be great to come to church, but I really experience God the best when I'm out in nature. You know, just walking around in nature, that's when I see Jesus, and so I don't need to go to church. You know, I don't need to get together with other people because I've been hurt in the past, but, you know, the woods isn't going to hurt me. And then I see Jesus and I feel close to him and it's all great. And in many ways, I can actually empathize with people, this viewpoint of how they can meet Jesus. Because for myself, it's when I am taking walks by myself outside, when I'm walking down by the creek path or whatever it may be, that as I'm praying, I have had my most substantive experiences with Jesus, where I have been able to say, yes, I heard from God today. But at the same time, you'll notice from the fact that I'm here on Sunday that I still believe that church is important, and it's not just because it's my job. It's not because it's just my job, because you see, there's certain things that even when you're out there and you're experiencing Jesus in the forest or whatever it may be that you're not getting when you're not at church, when you're not together with other believers. See, you cannot replace worshiping and learning within the larger Christian community. Following Jesus is a relationship, but it's not just about your relationship with God. It's also about your relationship with others, with those who follow Jesus as well, because we're a family. And we don't want to be an estranged family, you know. You got the weird uncle and you've got the awkward aunt and all that here. Whenever you come to church, there's always those people that are a little bit off. But that's okay, because they're family. They're part of the family of God, and we love one another, and we support one another. But you see, when we ignore meeting together, when we're closed off to open and honest community, we lose out on a lot of things. For example, who is going to push us to greater faith? Well, you know, Pastor, that time that I swam across the rapids without any life jacket on and no helmet or anything, and I got carried down there, you know, 500 meters before I got, that really helped me grow in my faith. You know, I was praying the entire time that I was down in that river there. Come on. Who will challenge us in our blind spots, in our hidden areas of sin? Who will encourage us to pursue reconciliation or to share the good news or to do good for others? Because I know if it's up to me, you know, if I didn't have anyone pushing me on, if I never gathered together with other followers of Jesus and had them pushing me to greater things, it would be really easy just to sit on the couch all day and play video games and be like, yeah, I'm serving Jesus as I kill these people. You know? We need each other. Who's going to encourage us when we're ready to give up? Have you been there? I've been there, where you're just ready to be done with it all. Where you're like, is following Jesus really worth it? Or is life really even worth it? But you have a family here who can push you on to greater things and say, hey, keep on going. It's all right. Let us help you. Who will be there for us in our hour of need? When you can't help yourself, who is going to be there for you? See, the fact is that we need each other. It's hard to follow Jesus alone. In fact, we're not called to follow Jesus alone. Remember, following Jesus is a marathon. We have to persevere in order to win the crown. We have to persevere. If you take nothing else from this message, this is what I want you to hear today. It's that alone, it's hard to stand. Together, we all get a hand. Alone, it's hard to stand, but together, we all get a hand. When you're all by yourself, you know, things come and they knock you around. And if you fall down, who's going to help you back up? You know, if something just comes along and it blindsides you and it just blinds you and it cripples you, how are you going to keep on going if you're all by yourself? But together, as you help me and I help you, we all get a hand. We're all stronger. We're all better together. Alone, it's hard to stand. Together, we all get a hand. We've been going through the book of Hebrews for the last number of weeks here, and Hebrews is a midrasher, essentially a Hebrew commentary on the Old Testament. And what's going on is the author of Hebrews, he's writing to these Christians who have become Christians out of Judaism. They're Jewish Christians. But since they started following Jesus, things have not been easy. They've been persecuted. You know, they're getting beaten. They're getting pushed out of their families. They're getting told that they're going to hell. That seems weird for Christians to be told that they're not going to a good place, right? And all these things are coming up against them. They're losing their jobs. All this stuff is going on. And so the author of Hebrews is saying, listen, I know that you want to give up. I know that some of you are looking at the old way, your old faith, and you're saying it would just be so much easier to give up on Jesus and just go back. It'd be so much easier. You know, I believe in Jesus. I prayed the prayer, but if I just practice the Jewish faith too, then all my problems are going to go away. And so the author of Hebrews, he's been telling them, listen, no, Jesus is greater than the old ways. Jesus has done so much more for you. Following Jesus is so much more powerful for you. Why would you go back? And so we come to where we are today, which is Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19. If you have a Bible with you, I'd encourage you to turn in your Bible right now. It's on the screen behind me already. Or you can go to ascc.life from your mobile browser, and you can follow along from there and take your own notes and send them to yourself. So I encourage you to do that if you'd like to do it that way. Let's read this together, starting at verse 19. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is through his flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Will you join me in a word of prayer? Heavenly Father, I thank you that we can learn from what you have written for us and what you've inspired to be written through these 40-odd men throughout a span of over 1,000 years, writing these words to us, revealing you to us and your plan for us, Lord Jesus. And today I ask that as we hear from what you have to say to us in this Bible, Lord Jesus, in your word, that you will just help us to receive it, Lord, that you'll help us to analyze it, that we will look at it critically, God. That we'll not just take my word for it, but that we will examine it for ourselves and come to our own understanding, our own conclusions about what it says. And God, I also ask that you'll take these feeble human words that I'm about to speak and that you'll make them something worthwhile through the power of your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You see, these Christians, they're intimately familiar with Judaism. They came out of it all. They were practicing Jews for years. They knew what the ritual was like. They knew what it was like to constantly take sacrifices to the altar and have the high priest kill these lambs and these bulls and blood everywhere and burning things and the Day of Atonement, where the high priest would go into the most holy place, go into the presence of God to atone for, to pay for the sins of the people of Israel on their behalf. They knew what it was like not to have personal access to their Creator. For there will only be one guy amongst them all who really ever got to experience the presence of God. They knew what this was like. And so, as I said, the author spent like 9 chapters telling everyone how Jesus changed things for the better. He brings in a better covenant. He brings in a greater high priest who is Jesus. Jesus is a greater sacrifice. Jesus brings us greater access to God. And now here in chapter 10, just as the author of Hebrews is about to move on into something else, into another point that he wants to make, he leaves us with 3 points of application, which are as follows. Draw near to God with a genuine heart. Hold fast to your faith in adversity. And stir each other up to greater things. These are the points that he's making. And in all three, you know, all three of these are hard to do without Christian community. It's hard to draw near to God with a genuine heart, to constantly keep a true heart for God without people to challenge you and to hold you accountable. It's hard to hold fast in adversity when you're alone. It's hard to stir each other up, to be stirred up to greater things without others. Listen, alone it's hard to stand, but together we all get a hand. We're all helped forward. But you might be sitting here today and you might be thinking, but Pastor, you know, I'm only here once. I'm only here once because you don't know what the church has done to me. You don't know what people in the church have done. You don't know the injuries that me and my friends and my family have incurred at the hands of people that say that they go to church. And so I'm just here once to prove to everybody that this church is exactly like every other church that I've been to. And that Christians are nothing but a bunch of meanies. And listen, I don't say this to make fun of your feelings. In fact, I think that in many instances, the church can hurt. It does hurt people. I mean, you gather a group of people together. You get 30 people. You get 50 people. You get 200 people together. And let me tell you, you are bound to get hurt. Because honestly, us people, we're idiots. Like we're stupid. We sit there and we're like, this person, they have my back, so I'm going to kick them. Like that's what we tend to do. But Jesus has called us to something greater. He's like, no, listen, healthy community cares for one another. Healthy community, it loves one another. You need to be gathering together and be pushing each other on to greater things. If you would all just stop wearing your masks, stop hiding behind who you want people to think that you are, and if you could all just show who you really are to one another, you could do such great things. And that's what we're called to in the church, is to be people that come at things not from trying to protect ourselves, but trying to protect one another. Holding one another up through the power of the Holy Spirit for the glory of God. So here's my challenge to you. Don't let a past experience ruin what true and healthy faith community is meant to be. Don't allow it to color, to shape your whole understanding of what church is, because church is not meant to be like that. People are like that. Church is not. In fact, maybe it is that instead of running away from these communities that seem unhealthy, maybe we're called to make them a better place. Maybe, just maybe, if those that were in a healthy place, maybe, just maybe, if those that really did desire to love others and to show people their love and to help and encourage one another, if we stopped running every time that we experienced a hurt or a challenge in the community of believers, we'd be able to make it a better place. That still leaves us asking, though, why does Jesus want us to be in Christian community? Why does he want us gathering together? I mean, you just said, Pastor Stephen, people are dumb. So why would Jesus want a bunch of dumb people getting together? It's not like getting a bunch of dumb people together raises the IQ in the room. But he has a reason. For starters, you need the accountability. Have you ever tried to kick a habit that you didn't want to do all by yourself with no one to keep you accountable, nothing to keep you accountable? If anyone here has ever smoked, you can probably speak to this about how hard it is to kick a habit like that without accountability. And all of us have things in our lives that we need to be kept accountable so that we can move past them, so that we can overcome them. And you might be here and thinking, no, not me, I'm perfect. You're a liar. Because none of us is perfect. None of us is in a place where we don't need accountability. The problem is, though, is as long as we keep these masks in front of our faces, as long as we pretend to be who we're really not and hide away all the pain and the hurts that we've gone through in our lives, we're never going to get better. Never going to get better. Never going to move beyond it all. Another reason that Jesus wants you to be in Christian community is because it's hard to persevere without help. Alone, it's hard to stand. Together, we all get a hand. Right? Like, how do you keep going without help? Actually, it's kind of interesting. Are any of you familiar with the giant redwood trees down in California on the west coast of the United States there? If you've ever driven through there, it's amazing, just these massive, massive trees and the way that they stand together. And it's actually said that these giant redwood trees have a very shallow root system. If you were to plant just one of those trees and it were to grow up as big as they are now, it would actually fall over at the slightest breeze. They don't have strong enough roots, deep enough roots to be able to hold themselves up. But when they're together, when they're clustered like they are down in the States as you drive down to California and they're all packed in there, it's them being together that allows them to stand as their root structures actually hook into one another, and what is shallow suddenly gains a structure because it's not alone, because it's there in community. You see, it's hard to keep going without help. But when you've got help, you're a stronger person. Jesus wants you to be in Christian community because iron sharpens iron. We need each other to be motivated to our best. Without people saying, you know what, I noticed this thing and that's really not a great trait. Without giving people permission to speak into our lives in this way, without having to deal with people to drive us up the wall, we're not going to get better. And so we need to be in Christian community. We need to be in Christian community because you need encouragement in the face of worldly discouragement. To truly and passionately follow Jesus in a way that changes who you are, it's not easy to do if the only people you're ever around all day are people telling you how nuts you are, how stupid you are for following Jesus. And so in the face of worldly discouragement, we need godly encouragement. Also, it's God's plan for Christians to be steeped in community. That one there, I threw that in just in case someone needs like a dad told you so kind of thing. Dad tells you so, right? Your heavenly Father tells you so. So here's two important forms of Christian community to help you in your journey with Christ. The first is larger weekly church gatherings to worship as the body of Christ. And I'm speaking from a place of a little bit biased here, you know. Yes, you can look at me, you're a pastor. So of course you're going to say that church is important. Of course you want us all here sitting down together in church. I mean, can you even speak on that, Pastor? Yes, I can, because you know what? Before I was a pastor, I was a congregant, and I found that church is exceedingly important. It's exceedingly impactful. And you know what? This book here tells us that we need to meet together. It gives us the example of the early church who gathered together in groups. And yes, there were house churches, but there was also the larger church, and they would meet together, and they would make sure they were together on Sundays, which guess what, was a work day for them, and they were gathering together on a work day before going to work because they wanted to meet together weekly to encourage each other, build each other up, to worship together, to receive good teaching, to engage with the larger Christian body and enact the gifts together as a part of the body of Christ for the glory of God. Listen, we need fellowship with people from diverse backgrounds so that we can be pushed out of our own ways of thinking and our own biases. We need to be unified as the people of God to impact our community and our world for Jesus. Because fractured and alone, we're not going to do much. But when we stand together as the unified body of Christ, we can do great things. So larger weekly church gatherings to worship as the body of Christ. That's one way that we gather together. Another is smaller, deep, spiritually sound Christian relationships. I know I threw a lot of adjectives in there, but that's because they need to be deep and they need to be spiritually sound. Because if you're meeting with a bunch of people and all you talk about is the weather, you're not really growing together. Too often we close ourselves off from meaningful Christ-centered relationships with other Christians. You know, we come to church every once in a while and then we sneak out the back door before everything's finished because, you know, it's awkward to really get to know people, because if I know people, then I have to care about them when they're hurting. Then I have to get over myself and let down the mask so that people can see who I am if I'm going to have a relationship with these people. It's a scary thing. And yet we're called to have meaningful relationships with other Christians. We must not neglect meeting together, but encourage one another, push each other on. And so we need smaller, deep, spiritually sound Christian relationships, but not to replace the larger Christian gathering. It seems kind of weird, right? If you're like, well, I'm an eye and I'm a nose and I'm a mouth and I'm an ear, so let's all, you know, let's just get the face together and we'll meet and we'll never meet with the rest of the body. Right? That doesn't work. We have to get together as a larger whole, but it's helpful for us also to get into these deeper places of relationship because, listen, on our best Sundays, we can have 50, 60 people here. You're not going to have deep relationships with 50 or 60 people. You'll go nuts if you try to do that. But when you take that group and you worship together as that group and you help one another as that group, but you've also got the care and the support of a smaller group of people that love and care for one another, that is an impactful thing to have. See, the early church, they met together every week to worship, but they also lived in rich, constant community with other Christ followers. They didn't live life alone. They weren't isolated. And so for us at our church, we foster this through community groups. And so we offer these things. We have church on Sundays, and then we offer community groups throughout the week to allow people to gather together and foster a deeper relationship with each other. Because remember, alone it's hard to stand, but together we all get a hand. I want you to picture for a second, what would it be like if there were people that you could actually come together with who could push you to greater things in your faith without you having to pretend to be someone that you're not? What would it be like as a Christian for you to know that there are people in your life where you can say, you know what, I really struggle with my language. You know what, I yelled at my kids the other day, and I know that's not right, but I just, they made me so mad. And parents, you know that's true. What would it be like to have a group of people who can say, listen, remember, you're forgiven, and God's pushing you on to greater things, but we're not going to judge you here. We've all done it. We've all messed up. But let us pray for you. Let us encourage you. Let us hold you accountable. What would it be like to be able to be open for people that are different than us to come into our churches and know that they are welcome here, that they are loved, that they are cared for? What would it be like to have friends who push us into greater things instead of trying to step on our shoulders to get ahead in life? Because that's the Christian community that we're called to, a healthy and vibrant community of believers, deeply connected as they passionately pursue a relationship with Jesus Christ. Because alone it's hard to stand, but together we all get a hand. And so if you're here today and you're like, yes, I get this. I need to move forward on this because I want that relationship. I want to have depth. I want to be able to meet with people who care about me. Then that's great. I'm so glad for you. And I want you to join us on Sundays and begin to think about the various ways that you can interact with people here on a weekly basis. But here, I want to offer all of you as people that maybe you're attending church regularly. I want to offer you a couple of steps that you can take in regards to this message. The first one is this. Why don't you invite your Christian friends to come back to church? You know, I know that you probably have a few Christian friends, or at least people that say, yeah, I've been there, I've done that, I've gone to church, and they're not going to church anymore. Why don't you invite them back? Listen, it doesn't have to be this church. If you're not from this church, invite them to your church. Just invite them to church. Because it's in relationship, it's in community that we grow as believers in Jesus. And if you are here and you're like, listen, I go to church. I am such a faithful attender. I go every single week, even when I'm sick, even when I have to work, I skip work so that I can go to church. That's how dedicated I am to church. I like you. I like all of you. And let me challenge you today to join a community group. You can go to ascc.life and you'll see a card there that's called Community Groups, and you can contact us for more information and to get hooked up with a group. We have one running right now, but as they grow, they'll eventually become two and then three and so on as we gather more people. And so I encourage you, join with us. Get together with us. Let's grow deeper in our relationship with Jesus.
Maybe you're listening and you've been seeking Jesus for a while, trying to make sense of who he is and what he's all about. I want you to know that God, in his infinite love, has been pursuing you. God wants to have a life-giving relationship with you. But the fact is that every person is born with a rebellious heart and is separated from the life that only comes through a true relationship with their Creator. So God did something magnificent. He knew that we could not repair the broken relationship ourselves, so he came to us,
And we're told that while we were still sinners in active rebellion against God, Jesus Christ died for us. In John 3:16, Jesus said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but will have everlasting life." So, if you're ready to have that newfound life through a relationship with Jesus, I'd like to invite you to pray a prayer with me, confessing with your mouth that Jesus is Master and believing in your heart that God raised him from the dead. As you dedicate your life to following Christ Jesus, you will receive forgiveness for your sins and you will be adopted into the family of God. Let's pray. God, I know that I'm a sinner. I know that I deserve the consequences of my sin. However, I'm trusting in your Son, Jesus Christ, as my Savior. I believe that his death and resurrection provided for my forgiveness. I trust in Jesus and Jesus alone as my Master and my Savior. Thank you, Lord, for saving me and forgiving me. Help me to leave my old ways behind and to live as you would have me live from this time forward. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you just prayed that prayer from your heart, I want to welcome you into the family of God. Your next step is to connect with a local church so that you can be shown how to grow in this new relationship with Jesus. I would love to help you take the next step and to put helpful resources in your hands. Will you let me know that you made a decision today by going to ascc.life and tapping I have decided? Again, that's ascc.life. Thanks for listening, and I hope you'll join us again next week for more Bible-based encouragement.